So this afternoon's topic between now and 2 o'clock with probably some time for questions because there's only a certain amount you can take. I admire you guys, I need to tell you, because I go to conventions. I do about 60 or 70 conventions a year besides my coaching work. And I don't know how you listen to speakers. I don't know how you sit and listen to speaker after speaker after speaker. You'll always see me at the back of the room because I have to get up and move. I have to hit something, bite something, scratch something, kick something. I could never do what you do. I couldn't listen to me all day. That's why I travel so much, is because the people in my home don't like to listen to me at all. But anyway, let me give you a template for... I thought I'd sneak this in at the beginning while we wait for the dessert crowd to arrive, about any convention that you go on. So this is not about technology. We'll get to technology in a moment. But when you go to conferences like this, here's a template for you to use to decide what to do with this plethora of information, because you walk out of here and you're going to have a bunch of notes and you're going to have a bunch of resources from a bunch of speakers, and then you go back and you have a clever bookshelf. And the bookshelf knows how to double its production, but the human being hasn't changed. And then next day you come back to Taggart and you go, well, where are them notes from last year? You know, what was that guy with the accent? What did he say about you got to do what now? So write this down, A, B, C. Here's a template for implementation for the rest of your life at conferences. You've got A items, B items, and C items. So you take your notes from Taggart, you go home, and you go and grade your notes into A's, B's, and C's. An A item is free. It's an A priority. It's free. Free's a good price. Would you agree? Like if you were to start saying to every single one of your clients when you get to the closing transaction, okay, I need to talk to you about your parents. We need to parent-proof this asset. I need you to put me in the room with your mom and dad. Now, if mom and dad are in Southern California, your broker group, IMO, or your agency force has got someone in California, and you go on the case with them, and you make the introduction, and you send the sample plan in a padded bubble envelope with a estate directory and whatever else. So those are A items. B items are items that cost a little bit of time, and they're simple, but they're not completely free because we believe that time is money. So what takes a little bit of time? Well, if I was to send the Jimmy John's or the Subway menu to my client Vicky and say, Vicky, I'm coming by, which one of the next four Wednesdays can I come by? Because I bought you a DVD about paychecks and playchecks or about retirement planning, and I wanted to drop the DVD off. That would be the cost of the sandwich, the cost of my gas, and the cost of Tommy Hignor's DVD, let's say. So that's not completely free, but it's just simple and takes a little bit of time. I'm going to suggest that you take my stuff from today and all the slides that I'm going to send you, and you try and build an extra 5 to 7 minute conversation with every one of your existing clients going forward. Does that make sense? Every one of your existing clients, you talk about record keeping and parent proofing and guarantees. And so that becomes an extra 5 to 7 minutes of client meeting. And if your clients have got an hour for you, believe me, they've got an hour and 7 minutes for you. And you'd be amazed at the impact of that over a period of time if you took a now to December 31st view of it. And the C items are the things that cost money. So what is money? Well, to go and buy them a better lunch at the American Dental Association Provo chapter when they're getting together at the Hilton for their quarterly symposium for CE credits could cost you 30, 40, 50 bucks per person times 20 dentists is $1,000. But I'm here to tell you that out of that $1,000, if what you say and what you give them in terms of tools and resources is good enough, you will absolutely walk out of there with 3, 4, or 5 different client relationships. Because let me make a very unpopular but authentic statement about our industry, and it's my industry too. There's a level of mediocrity with financial advisors out there that's scary. I think you would agree. Okay, the average person is just knocking out 60K a year, which is more than when they were working construction for 40K a year, and they got their F-150 truck, and they're just kind of happy. And it's amazing how motivated they get at month end when they need to sell a case to pay the Verizon bill. That's what the majority of people are that you compete with. And those people are going to move out of the business. I promise you, it's going to be hot. This is the worst business in the world to earn 60 grand a year in, only. The very worst business in the world. So what I wanted to do this afternoon is share some techie stuff with you, talk a little bit right at the end about the boot camp, because you also get all of this. Every person who attends gets this on a USB. And this over here is more than 1,600 pages of ebooks covering every aspect of your business development. There's 3 years of work there that you get as well, covering different aspects of your business. I'm not a techie person, I need to tell you. I hire techie people and I have to pay them a lot of money because I don't understand technology too much. So probably half the room, people who chose the other breakouts today, were like, well, I'm not techie, so I'm not going to go to that thing. So we need to keep it real simple. First thing, I have a friend. His name is Sam Richter. Sam's an amazing speaker. You should try and get him to tag it next year. He's $20,000 and worth every single cent. You can get Sam Richter's brain for less than $20,000. And I'm going to send you these slides too, so you don't have to write this down. I'm going to tack these on the end of the slide bank, and I've got all your business cards hopefully at this point anyway. What I need you to do is to read this book. Read the book. It's going to take you 2 weeks to get through the book. And what you do is you read a chapter, and I don't get 1 cent for endorsing his book. I have no financial arrangement with Sam. What you do is you read one chapter, and then you practice the Grandmaster Jedi Ninja underground internet techniques. Did you know, friends, that any email that's ever been sent in the history of email that had a PDF, a spreadsheet, or an attachment, if it was not sent by 640-bit bank-encrypted email, then that attachment is floating up in the sky? Anthony Morris has 300 PowerPoint presentations floating up in the cloud, because I used to send you my PowerPoint presentation by email, but now it's become so big with the pictures, it's like 53 megs big. Now what I do is I put those slides in a Dropbox and I send you a link to the Dropbox, and then you open up the 53 meg link yourself. Now why am I telling you that? If you study Sam's stuff, I promise you, you will become a ninja at using the underground internet. So for example, and I'm going to make this up as I go along, there's a 5-day boot camp at BY University Hospital where Dr. Singh from Mumbai, who earns $3 million a year doing boot camps for neurosurgeons. Dr. Singh is coming to town from Mumbai, and he's going to do his 5-day boot camp. It's $150,000 to attend his 5-day boot camp on how to expedite the patenting of neurological devices. And the 10 biggest earning neurosurgeons in the state of Utah and in Wyoming and in Colorado are going to sign up for Dr. Singh's 5-day, 150 grand boot camp. Julie from the Neurosurgeons Association of America, Utah chapter, makes the fatal mistake of sending the Excel spreadsheet of first name, last name, email address, cell phone number, home address, dietary preferences, and what type of room they want to Mary at the Marriott Hotel in Provo. And she sends that Excel spreadsheet by unencrypted email. If you know what to search in the search feature, you can pull that spreadsheet out of the sky, which means you have first name, last name, email address, cell phone number, and home address of all of the top 10 neurosurgeons in Utah who can afford a 150 grand boot camp. How cool is this? You find out that Dr. Johnson, because you do further researches, is actually, now you want to meet Dr. Johnson, because he appears to be a rock star, because he booked the presidential suite, and he lives in an 11,000 square foot house up in the mountains here. He's the one that you want as a client. Well, you're not going to reach out through LinkedIn. What you're going to do is you're going to go and look at Dr. Johnson, and then you find out that he's actually a bronze sponsor of the Autism Speaks Golf Day that happens at the Provo, Utah Golf and Country Club every March. So Autism Speaks has a golf day, and Dr. Johnson, the neurosurgeon, is a bronze sponsor. So how would you get Dr. Johnson as a client? You pick up the phone to Mary, who runs the Autism Speaks golf day, and you'd say, I'd like to be a bronze sponsor of that golf day you have in March. And she says, oh, that's very exciting. You get your name on the lunchbox, and you get your business cards next to the lunchbox, and you can put a flag on the 13th tee box, and you go, I don't want any of that. You say, I'll pay you $800 if I can be on the golf cart next to Dr. Johnson, the bronze sponsor neurosurgeon of yours. I'll pay you $800 for that. And then that's what you do, and you're on the golf cart with him, and guess who has to listen to the next 4 hours? You. And you're talking about mortality credits and preferential creditors and a whole bunch of stuff. There's white smoke coming out of his ears by the time he's finished the round of golf. I've got some stuff for you in my golf bag over here. Now, that to me is a clever use of technology. Don't be the person with the bag of pebbles and the boiling hot oil saying, I'm going to go and win a war, because you're going to lose. I did a presentation to 7 vice presidents in Boston. You'd know the name of the company recently. We had 79 pages of research generated on those people, 79 pages of research. One of the women vice presidents sits on the board of the Lupus Foundation. One of the gals on my team has an experience of lupus in her life because she watched her mom die from the disease from age 2 to age 12. Do you think we found a way to sneak lupus into the room in the first 1 hour of my 4-hour presentation? You better believe it. And that's when this woman, vice president, put her phone down and paid attention to us. So you can find out everything about people. If you Google Anthony Morris and you go deep enough on Google, I wish I could get it off page 17, but I think it's 17 pages deep. You would see the Anthony versus Maureen Morris in the Cape Town High Court divorce proceedings. which means the first time you visited with me and I said, so what do you do as a financial advisor? You would get to say, well, I help 50-somethings make sure they don't make the same financial mistake in their third marriage as they did in their first two. And you'd have my attention pretty much quickly, would you agree? So use technology. The other thing, now I'm going to go on a tangent and I'm going to come back. When I spoke at Gamma Lamp, they gave me 20 minutes. And I can speak really fast, as you've noticed. And there were 2,600 managers in the room in Vegas in March. And they have the Chinese and the Korean translators and the Taiwanese translators behind the screens. And when I came backstage after 20 minutes, they were like throwing their headsets out of the booth from frustration, because they are still trying to translate my smoker campaign. Because I don't mean a smoker campaign, I mean a smoker campaign. Okay? Here's what I want you to do, and I wanted to sneak this idea, and this got nothing to do with technology, it's just an idea I didn't finish this morning, and I thought I'd use it to thank you for joining me this afternoon. You go and take a picture of a Traeger smoker, and then you send it to your clients. I picked up a half dozen smokers to recognize 6 loyal clients this month. Be one of the first 6 to put me in the room with 3 couples for an exchange of ideas and a no-obligation opinion on their financial direction. I'll deliver the attached smoker to your home. You can invite 5 couples over to watch and learn how to use it. I'll even bring a free recipe book for them and the meats if you provide the beverages. Call me to discuss those you care about. Now, this is not commission rebating, because you're rewarding the person for putting you in the room with people versus them having to buy something from you. I'm very, very clear on this. Now, what you want to do is you want to hang a tag. You see, when I did this in Madison, Wisconsin recently, the compliance person said that would violate the gift-giving rules of the state of Wisconsin in terms of a client gift. I said, not if you attach an aluminum business card by rivets to the roof of the smoker, because that would make it a marketing piece instead of a client gift. Would you agree? And there was dead silence in the room. I said, it's a business card with a smoker attached to it. What's wrong with you? Anyway, she's still trying to close that loophole. But here's what you do, quite frankly, is that you take a tag, like a military dog tag, and you put on their property of Joe the Broker with your phone number, and you hang it by one of those chains from the smoker. And then after you've finished with the smoker at the client's house on their patio, you just say, look, I'll collect my smoker. I'm a little tired now. I'll collect my smoker sometime. And you just never collect your smoker. It's still your smoker. You didn't give it to them as a gift. It's just that you left it at their house. So do something. Now, what's the point? When you are doing the smoke-a-thon at your client's home, and you've got chickens going there, and you've got pigeons, and you've got ducks, and you've got, I don't even know what you smoke here. You've got bison sausages, and you've got all sorts of cheesy brats and steaks and everything. Everybody's standing around, and you must have, and I want you to write this down as my first techie point for the day, you must have a Dropbox app of your own. Please can I beg and implore you to get me to your next leaders and managers meeting? Say whatever you have to say to them to get me invited so that I can explain to them how life works. Because half the companies in America are not going to be in this business in 5 years' time unless they really catch up and decide that they're going to become more technologically engaging with clients. There's a whole lot of people running companies into the ground, and that's mostly the compliance people whose job it is to say no. If they said yes, they wouldn't have a job. Have you figured this out yet? Like IT that works perfectly the first time. Have you noticed it doesn't? Because who would need them? So quite frankly, we have sold ourselves down the river because we've got a whole bunch of people saying no who just don't understand some stuff. You've got to be able to have your own Dropbox app so that you can put stuff in the Dropbox, and all the game becomes is sharing my username and password of my Dropbox with my prospects across the neighborhood barbecue. What might you put in your Dropbox? You might put a sample plan, PDF of a sample plan. Elvis and Priscilla Presley, 5000 Grayson Drive, Memphis, Tennessee. You might put your fillable PDF of the estate directory I worked with this morning. You might put that in your Dropbox. Why wouldn't you throw a couple of special reports into the Dropbox, like the Alzheimer's.org special report? You could put video material in your Dropbox, whatever you have to do. Now, a lot of people say, well, why don't you just have a website? Well, because with the website, clients don't know where to go. With a Dropbox, there's 6 or 7 key tools and resources in there that you really want the client to pay attention to. And you can encourage them to share your Dropbox username and password with the other people in their life. So use that. I want to give you something for your Dropbox here. Now, here's what you can do with this. Write this down so that you remember to look for the slides. It's called a pressure test. A pressure test. I designed a 10-point pressure test, and it doesn't talk about product. My challenge is we've been producted to death in this business. People want 2-inch holes. They have no interest in 2-inch drill bits. It's kind of like when the client says, will you look at my stuff? Will you look at my stuff? You go, I'd love to look at your stuff. But let's not have a wheel nuts discussion about the Grand Prix race. Let's first talk about the direction, shall we? We'll deal with the brands of wheel nuts later on. In other words, you almost want to denigrate the fact that the person's asking you to look at which policies they've got and which funds they're invested in. Lewis Hamilton focuses on the roads ahead. Lewis Hamilton focuses in Monte Carlo about how to get through their next bend with the rain and not go flying off into the ocean. Can we talk about your direction before we talk about your wheel nuts? You can talk about the wheel nuts later. So this pressure test, quite frankly, I couldn't stop you if you're an independent broker by turning around and putting this on your website. How cool would it be if a person could say, take the 60-second pressure test, they fill in these questions, push the submit button, and send it back to you. Or there's a company called SurveyMonkey. You might as well write it down. You can take this and put it into SurveyMonkey and turn it into a survey. Then the client completes it and sends it back to you. 10 powerful questions about your money. Has a written financial plan been documented and updated at least annually? And you looked at the hands this morning that went up when I said, how many of you have seen a client putting an existing plan in front of you? It's the minority. Was the appropriate inflation indexing used? Was the appropriate life expectancy used? Have the long-term care expenses been accounted for by the plan in order to protect the children's retirement from the unfunded health issues of the parents? We have to get back to being human beings, folks. You would swear the way they've got us right now is that it's a robot selling to a robot, and you're not meant to use any humanity or any emotion in the sales process. Does the plan contain the correct blend of mortality credits with guaranteed income paychecks and lifestyle paychecks? What else in the pressure test? Is the lazy money being leveraged to accelerate family wealth? Does the plan contain fully comprehensive disability and income protection benefits, what I call PEP insurance, potential earning power? That lifehappens.org human life value calculator. I hope you guys are all using lifehappens.org. That is Marvin Feldman's legacy to us, is that he created the Life Foundation, and most of your companies in this room actually sponsor the Life Foundation, and they send money to the Life Foundation. So if you look under the partners section and you see your company's logo, then that means that everything on that website is compliance approved, because your company sent hundreds of thousands of dollars to lifehappens.org to create a website to educate consumers about the importance of life insurance, long-term care, DI, etc. So on the lifehappens.org website, there's a human life value calculator. It's a really cool calculator. It takes you 60 seconds to work out what your life is worth financially. And if I were you, I would start sending that calculator to every client before the first meeting. I would print out a screenshot of that page from lifehappens.org, and I would put it on the table before every client meeting, or I would send a screenshot of it to the client and say, I need you to play around with this calculator before I see you. There are two things every one of your clients should do before a first meeting. Look at one of the videos from lifehappens.org and play around with some of the calculators, because they can work out very quickly what their life is worth financially. Are there estate plan distributions arranged with values guidelines? We're going to talk about that in a while. Has a family meeting been convened at any point, and has an estate directory been completed? Now, if you look at these 10 questions, you tell me, and agree with me if you would, that the majority of people who complete this are going to answer no across the board. They're going to answer no across the board, and that's the TCU disturbing thing that we talked about this morning. So take this and use it. Now, you can take this and deconstruct it into a series of questions. You could turn this into a whole bunch of posts for your social media. You could print this out on nice thick cardstock, and this becomes the giveaway that you give to people if you're doing lunch and learns or worksite marketing. You could print this out on nice cardstock and send it to tomorrow's prospect with a sample plan ahead of that first meeting with them. And that is the very, very simple use of the kinds of materials that I'm sharing with you. So take a look at doing that. You see, you need to have, and I want you to write this down and circle it, you need to have some lead magnets on your website. Lead magnets. I'm doing more and more work with management and home offices and executive teams right now to say, you know something, your website needs to be a Porsche showroom. Your website needs to be so good that every one of your rookies that joins the company has got all of the tools that they need to be able to sit at the neighborhood barbecue and literally run a seminar off their iPhone 6S Flavor Flav extra large, not the Samsung Galaxy, because those are exploding ones now. Not allowed that on a plane all of a sudden. Well, all the people with a Samsung Galaxy, please switch it off. You may not switch it on during this flight. Samsung must be having a group cardiac arrest. But anyway, that's why you need a big phone. Because, you know, if we look at these things, it wasn't so long ago that this thing was like holding a shoe to your head. The millennials don't remember this, right? You were driving down the road and there was this blue haze of radiation setting off the car alarms as you drove past. Cats would just die from tumors as you came by. It wasn't so long ago. Now we have the capacity over here for me to have my fillable PDF of an estate directory and a sample plan and this, and it's a case of swipe, swipe, swipe. What do you mean you don't have this? Swipe, swipe, swipe. What's your email address? Let me send you some tools and resources. And that's my goal for you, is it should be that good and that quick. All you need is sitting right here these days, folks. So take a look at that. Next thing, I'm a big believer in books. My friend Ted McLyman has written an amazing book. Phone Ted, give him my love and buy a box of his books. I have no financial interest in his book. It's called Money Makes Me Crazy. Would you please buy his book and read his book? Now, this is a crazy use of technology. Once you've read his book, you pull out your favorite 10 quotes or issues that his book raises, and you put them on a Word document, and you send those to your client before the first meeting. Because your clients are too busy to read books, but they'll read 10 points on a piece of paper, won't they? When I read this book, I dropped this book like a hot potato. I got to page 5, and it said, all money decisions are financial decisions. And until you get into the emotion behind the money, you can't grow your money. In other words, you can't become wealthy and financially secure unless you understand the emotion behind the money. And I came to terms with something when I read this book, and I'm going to get up close and personal with you for a while here. Anthony Morris has always bought women, not in the way that you would think. I spoil the woman in my life rotten. Seriously, I'm a really cool guy to be in a relationship with. There's no financial pressure for them whatsoever. I'm sitting with my friend Brian Husky. We're at a convention once. He's a fraternity brother of mine from Oregon. He looks at me over dinner and he says, so how many carrots are you down? I said, what do you mean? He said, you know exactly what I mean. He said, before you take another bite of that steak, how many carrots down are you? I said, well, I better count. He said, well, I want you to count. I said, 27 carrots. He says, where are those diamonds now? I said, on the fingers and around the necks of all my exes. He said, you know what you could have done with 27 carats in money? Well, I just choked on the rest of my steak, right? But what's the point? Then what happens is I spoil the woman that I'm with so rotten that they end up not working, and then they end up economically enslaved by me without me intending to do it, and they end up hating and resenting me for the fact that they can't afford to leave me. I've got to go and think about that one for a while. Maybe you've got a solution for me. But what's the point? I learned it in the book. If you could take this book and you could get all your clients to read this book, I mean read this book, before the first meeting or between meeting one and meeting two, and you know who you give it to? You give it to the woman. Let me tell you why. You guys think women shop. You're quite right, but they don't buy. A woman will put the Jimmy Choo shoes in the shopping basket, in the shopping cart, and she will spend 9 sleepless nights and she will stare at that shopping basket a lot before she buys. Different to a guy. A guy will go out there into Nordstrom's to kill one shirt for that thing tonight, and he'll come out with a pair of shoes. My dad left the house to buy feta cheese in the Sunday Times. It was gone for 4 hours. My mother called the police, and he came home with a yacht. My mother's like, I sent you out for feta cheese. Well, he says, I met Dave Abramovitz at the yacht club, and he said, I'm going to this auction. Would you like to go? We'll be there 15 minutes. And when I got there, I saw this yacht, and I realized I'd been spending too long at work and not enough time with my kids. And so he came home with a yacht instead of feta cheese. This is what men will do. Let me tell you, this is not the normal technology show. I know you came here expecting some kind of wizardry. You know what I would do? I would take a screenshot of Money Makes Me Crazy. I would then take a scan of the contents page. And I would send those two things to tomorrow's prospect saying, and Bob, when I see you on Thursday, I'm bringing you your complimentary copy of this book. In other words, you're teasing him with the cover of the book and you're teasing him with the contents page of the book, but he only gets the book when you actually arrive, if that makes sense. The same as Hegner's DVD. If you go to YouTube and type in Tom Hegner, there's a 1 minute and 6 seconds highlight video of the Don't Worry, Retire Happy DVD. You're not going to go and spend $15 on a DVD sending it to a person before they've had a meeting with you, but you send them a link to the DVD saying, and I'll bring this when we visit. So you're using technology cleverly to entice people to actually want to have a meeting with you. And all of these things are educational materials or marketing materials, so they're not client gifts. Text messaging, email, or voice note. Some of you are not allowed to send text messages. I have an issue with that, but I'll go and talk to FINRA about it at some point. Some of your companies believe that you're chimpanzees, and you can be trusted with people's millions, but you can't be trusted to send certain types of text messages. I need to talk to them about the chimpanzee treatment of you. But anyway, that's a separate discussion. Why don't we have compliance-approved text messaging? Why don't we have a bank of text messages saying, here's how you thank a client for a meeting, here's how you thank a client for spending time with you, this is the only approved text message that you may send. So you can't say thank you for hiding your money in the Cayman Islands, here's the account number. Obviously that's stupid. But if you're sitting in the Provo or the Salt Lake City traffic behind an accident and you're not allowed to text message a client saying, it's backed up on I-5, I'll be there as soon as I can, there's an accident, I think that flies in the face of customer centricity. But let's leave that alone for a moment. What you might consider doing, some of you are allowed to do this. I don't know if you know that you can record a voice note. In other words, I can record a voice note and then I can text message the voice note to you. How many of you knew that you can do that? Put your hands up. Start doing it with your clients. In other words, you sit in your car after your client meeting and you record about a 1 to 1.5 minutes. Don't go longer than that. 1 to 1.5 minute voice note to your client. Bob and Molly, just wanted to thank you so very much for spending your time. Or hi, Peter, if his name is Peter. If it's Paul, you would insert Paul at that point. Stay with me. I know I'm the afternoon speaker. Thanks for giving me time today to gain some insights into your financial dreams and responsibilities. I appreciate you considering our service and solutions at ABC Life. We know you have a choice in selecting a financial guide to bring clarity, confidence, and control. You'll read the rest of the thing in your own time. And you send that to them as a text message. How many of you have received a voice note by text message recently? Put your hands up. That's an amount. What's going on in Utah that you're getting those? Anyway, but for most people, they haven't. And it's a really cool way of thanking a person in a creative way. So start doing that. Google Alerts. How many of you are on Google Alerts? Put your hands up. For the rest of you, I want you to go and set up a Gmail account. Set up a Gmail account. Do not use your New York Life, Mass Mutual, or whatever account, because it will fill up really quickly. Then you go into Google Alerts and you ask Google Alerts to keep you in touch with breaking news in these topic areas. You can put multiple topic areas in. It's free. In other words, when Alzheimer's.org comes up with a special report that says, according to our research, the cost of dementia care in America in 2050, when your 40-year-olds are entering the dementia years, is forecast to be $1.2 trillion a year, and we currently owe China $1.4 trillion, that's a fairly convincing, persuasive piece of scientific fact for you to use to encourage your clients to put you in the room with mom and dad to make sure that mom and dad do something about their long-term care needs. That's a pretty strong, it's better than a marketing brochure from a carrier, I think you'd agree. I would use both of them. But when Alzheimer's.org puts that special report out there, the very second that special report hits their website, because it contains these keywords here, you would receive an alert. So then what you've got to do on a Friday morning is you've got to sit with your Gmail account, and there will be, as Van Mueller says, a plethora of stuff. A plethora as in probably 1,000 alerts. And you just cruise through and you cherry pick which ones are the most useful ones to you, if that makes sense. That's the good use of Google Alerts. The other thing I want you to consider doing is to put your top 50 clients in Google Alerts. So if I put Bob Jones Chiropractor Provo, Utah, there's probably only one Bob Jones Chiropractor Provo, Utah. And anything to do with Bob Jones Chiropractor Provo, Utah, that particular person that goes into the internet, you would receive an instant alert about that. So if Bob comes third in the age 45 to age 50, Salt Lake City Half Ironman on a Sunday, and they post those results at 5 p.m., you would receive an instant alert about how well he did in the Ironman. If Bob gets appointed as the president of the Provo Rotary Club, as soon as they put that into their website, you would get an instant alert that Bob's just been appointed president of the Rotary Club, which means you can phone and congratulate him. And I wouldn't tell him that you've been following him on Google Alerts. That wouldn't make a lot of sense. You don't want to say to clients, I've been stalking you online. Okay? You don't. No, I have to put that out there because not everyone's as intelligent as the people in this part of the country. You know, you can walk into a client's house and go, my golly, would you look at this place? What a gorgeous, beautiful home. A place like this must have cost 10 years ago, what, $953,000 or something? The person's like, holy smokes, this is a clever financial advisor. How do they know this was a 950 grand home 10 years ago? Well, because you were checking it out online. You can find out everything that you need to know about people. It's scary. This is the new way of thinking about business. So you've got a free CRM system, if that makes sense, that will keep track with what's going on in the lives of your top clients, and you can positively use this information with them. Another one that I use, which you might find, so for example, on Google Alerts, Fidelity in 2012, April 9th, 2012, Fidelity came up with a report, which is on the Wall Street Journal website. Unfortunately, Wall Street Journal is going to charge you $2 a month to access the report now. You used to be able to access it for free. I think it's worth $2 a month. It's called He Wants to Retire, But She Doesn't. It says that 79% of Americans disagree about the date of retirement, and then some 60-something percent disagree about the dollars that need delivery on that date, and 43 or 49% of them disagree about whether they will need to continue to work during retirement, and some one-third of American couples disagree about what they're going to do every day with their retirement. So Morris looks at all of this in the Fidelity report, which is a cool report to send to your clients, by the way, because you're saying to them, if you guys are confused, it's okay, you're in the majority. You're in the majority, it's okay to be confused, it's normal to be confused. I would print out that report and send it to my clients or PDF it and send it to every prospect before the first meeting, even if it's not a Fidelity product you're introducing. But here's the thing. I took that and I turned it into a very interesting series of his and hers cards. And I want you to write that down because it's a clever little conceptual idea for you. His and hers cards. You've got a pink one and a blue one. And what you have is you have the date of the retirement in this house. And question two is what dollars need delivery on that date? The date of retirement in this house and what in dollars or assets needs to be delivered on that date. You've got a his card and a hers card. And I want to challenge you to start your client meeting with a his and hers card. You put the his and hers cards down in front of the couple with a golfing pencil. They're free. Help yourself at the pro shop. Just get a whole bunch of them. You've got a golf pencil there. And you say, won't the two of you complete this card without comparing notes, without comparing answers? You will never find that couple in agreement on the date of the retirement and the dollars that need delivery on that date. And that's the way of starting the tension, right? If you want people to pay attention, you need to cause tension with them. So you take those cards and go, ooh, we have a disagreement. I have a young rookie that I coach who puts down a plain card with his clients, a 3x5 card. This is compliance approved for every company on the planet. You can still hand out white 3x5 cards. And he puts a plain card in front of the couple, and he says to them, from A plus to F, rate your current financial situation without comparing answers. From A plus to F, rate your current financial situation. He's never had them agree. He says, and he's waiting for the day they both rate themselves C minus. He's going to go, I have C minus. Awesome. How do we make this a B plus? Normally, the woman underrates and the man overrates. So you can go, I have B plus, I have C minus. Which is it? And she's looking at him. You see, you guys in this room, you have to get the woman on your side. We're very behind as an industry on this. One of the top 10 brands in this country right now, I won't mention their name, they're a client of mine, hands out to rookies a questionnaire that says, are you and your wife in agreement on your financial direction? Gee, I'm sorry, I thought in 2013 that 51% of products with advice attached in this country were bought on the decision of a woman, not a man, and they're becoming more and more decisive, yet we're still talking about you and your wife. So think about that for a second. So that's what you've got to go and do, is you've got to have some things that are kind of with the times. You have to get the woman on your side. Arrive with a bunch of flowers when you visit them in their home. That's a non-techie idea, but do it anyway. Good evening, Mrs. Jones. Thanks for having ABC Life in your home. She's got the flowers. She's not even looking at you. She's looking at her husband. Recognize these? Been a while, hasn't it, mister? Because you want to in the washroom afterwards with the Kleenex and the Pond's cold cream. Go, yeah. And since when were me and the children only worth $300,000 to you, mister? You add a couple of zeros to that premium if you know what's good for you. You want to on your side. It's very important. Isn't it tragic that we got LinkedIn and calculators and all these amazing gizmos, and yet in 70-something percent of the cases, there's a change of advisor within 6 months of the spouse dying. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. Absolutely have to get the spouse on your side. Coming back to technology, I subscribe to Financial Planning Daybreak. It's free, and I want to encourage you to. What's cool about Financial Planning Daybreak is you get all industry stories coming flying at you every day, But then about 20% of the time, there's a really cool article that you can use to grow your practice. So this was from, you can see this, September 12th. And when I'm on airplanes and everything, I'm just cruising in through here and seeing what's new and what I need to know. Expand your business with millennials. Gee, that's interesting. Let's find out more about that. And there's a whole white paper. I haven't downloaded it for you. You can download a white paper, expand your business with millennials, because you have to understand these people because they think differently. If you're Bill Ford, you better do something about the fact that they're not buying cars anymore. You know why? Because they watch their parents get heart attacks and strokes trying to meet car payments, and the kids of today under 30 are going, what do I want a car for? I've got a Skywalker, I've got Uber, or we'll just all share an apartment above where we work. So if you're the Ford company, you better be thinking about the fact that car sales are going downhill. According to LIMRA, life insurance sales with under 30s are going downhill. You know why? Well, I'll get to that one day, but I don't even know if I'm going to stay here. I might go to Dubai for a year. Who knows? They're delaying having babies. They're doing it. They're waiting to have babies. Why do they want to be tied down with a baby at age 22? Used to be that if you were female and 22 and you didn't have one child with another one on the way, there was something somehow wrong with you. And these days, it's the opposite. Well, that has huge implications for us in this room, which you've got to think about. I'm telling you, you've got to be in the room with their mom and dad, saying to their mom and dad, how much do you love your grandkids? Oh, we love our grandkids. Got any pictures of your grandkids? Grandma pulls out an iPad with Instagram these days. Used to be photo albums. Now it's an iPad with Instagram. And they say, how do you feel about your grandkids moving in with you? Well, hold on a second. We love them, but like on timeshare. Don't get carried away here. Then you go, well, Bob, and you lean in conspiratorially and you say, well, Grandpa Bob and Grandma Molly, I need to tell you I'm doing some planning with your kids. And the way they're set up right now is that if they didn't make it home from movies, your grandkids be moving in with you. And I just want to make sure that they're standing on your front doorstep with a large suitcase, that they have a large check in the other hand. Would you consider sponsoring the premiums of your kids maybe for 10 years? And when they're up and running and then they're on their feet, then they can kind of convert it out if it's a term policy or whatever. My brother Richard, my younger brother Richard, sold a lot of marijuana apparently when he was younger. I don't know. I was in America. I was a Rotary Exchange student. I didn't know my brother was a dope dealer. He was apparently pretty successful at it. That's not what he does these days. He owns Crystal Sugar Stick Company, which exports crystal sugar sticks around the world, and he has Walmart and Dollar Tree as clients of his, and he employs 85 people in South Africa. But when he wrote off my father's second car, all the Morris boys get one car to write off, but when you do the second one, you're in trouble. When he wrote off my dad's second car, my parents apparently put a massive disability policy on his life. How they got him through the underwriting is beyond me. He must have been having a 90-day dry spell or something. Because my father said, I can't control this young man's behavior, but I can sure control if he becomes an emotional, it becomes a financial burden on your mother and I. My mother has paid that DI premium religiously. When I was in South Africa recently, we were sitting down having breakfast, and my mother leans in and she says, you know, we've been asking Richard to take over that DI premium, but I don't want to put him under any pressure because I just wait till he's a bit more settled. I'm like, Mom, he's 43 and employs 85 people. He's settled. It's time, Mom. It's time. Richard crushed his hand in an industrial accident not so long ago, and he's the only one who manufactured all of those steam pipes and knows how to maintain. He lived for 18 hours a day on the floor of his factory for 6 years to build what he built today. I'm very proud of him. Very proud of him. I had to remind him and my mother that this is where Liberty Life brings the check every month. You know that their premium, you've been paying it, he can't use his laptop at the moment and his hand's got a problem. This is what you paid for all these years. Well, would they pay us? I said, yes, that's what you paid the premium for, right? Anyway, Google alerts. Family and friends. Let me share this with you. Family and friends campaign. I wonder if there are not 20 people in your phone whose funeral you would be unable to attend because you couldn't arrive with a clear conscience or a large check. And I want you to phone rich Uncle Harry after this weekend, and your next-door neighbor, Bob. Half of us haven't transacted with our next-door neighbors. You know why? Because if we mess it up, afterwards they'll still be our next-door neighbor. And we will do anything to avoid the social conscience of getting that stink-eye look at 7 o'clock every morning when we both leave for work with them looking at you going, can't believe you tried to turn me into a client. Now, let me tell you how you can use technology to get to these people. I'm sending you the slides. You don't have to write them down. There's the family and friends email. George, There's something I've been wanting to run by you for quite some time, but was reluctant to make you feel uncomfortable in any way. This will arouse some curiosity. You remove those brackets. That's my instruction to you. Stay with me. As you might already realize, I do some pretty important work for my clients. I help them to gain a high level of confidence, clarity, and control over their personal finances. Obviously, this type of work is very personal and confidential. I just want to make sure that whatever advice you're currently getting is as complete and of the highest caliber possible. Would you be open to sitting down with me at some point for a complimentary assessment of your situation? Promise that no other members of our family, church, Rotary Club, Wednesday night, hockey league, whatever, will become privy to our conversation. Who thinks you could use that with about 20 to 50 people in your phone right now that you've never approached about your business for whatever reason? Put your hands up. Okay, what might you attach to the email? How about a PDF of a sample plan? How about a calculator built in there? Okay, push this button, work out what your life is worth financially. How about the pressure test? How about the fillable PDF of their state directory? Whatever. So what you're doing is you're actually going there and you're using technology cleverly. Let me give you one of the cleverest things that I work with advisors on. And I have to keep things real simple because I know you're very successful people, but you also don't like to overcomplicate things. It's called triangulate your communication. I need you to start triangulating your communication. In other words, if you can use an initial approach with a prospect or a client, which you can do if you've studied Richter's stuff, because if you've studied Richter's stuff, do you know that every single person in this room, your cell phone is currently number sitting up in the cloud? If I know what to search for, I can find your cell phone number and I can find your email address. It's sitting up in the cloud. Because if ever you'd filled in your phone number, if ever you'd put your phone number into LinkedIn or Facebook, for instance, don't ever do that. Don't ever do that because the robots will pick it up. So my number is 94120984426. I would put NIN and then the rest of the number. Otherwise, the robots can pick it up. But there's a lot of people who put their stuff into the internet and don't realize it's going up into the cloud so that some North Korean hacker can go in there and steal it. And I keep saying that until the North Koreans find me to shut me down. I have to blame it on someone. So what you've got to do is you've got to have the... I'm very politically incorrect. Very. I'm learning that in America. Like, you guys have to have me back here in Utah because I'm not welcome anywhere. I think of stuff and then I put it in Facebook and my girlfriend's like, you can't say that. Like I was saying, that since Bruce became Caitlyn, okay, as in Jenna, I'm waiting for Nike to launch a shoe for transgender people and call it the Jen Air. I thought that was pretty hysterical, but apparently you're not supposed to go there, right? I realized I'd arrived as a speaker last week when Tom Hegner sends me a text saying, buddy, MDRT have approached me and asked me to pull out, you to pull your stuff off Facebook about Colin Kaepernick, because I had a bit of a go at Colin using my freedom of expression, and I called him some stuff and told him what I thought about the fact that there are two things left in this country that are sacrosanct as far as I'm concerned, besides your own religious beliefs, and that's the flag and the anthem. And I think if we lose our respect to those things, then we've totally lost the country. MDRT didn't like what I said. Thank you. Anyway. MDRT clearly believes that his freedom of expression to sit during the anthem doesn't extend to my freedom to call him what I like to call him. So I pulled. But given that I've got six MDRT presidents as testimonials on my website, I did pull the comments off Facebook. And from now onwards, all you'll see from me is inspirational posters with pebbles dropping in water. Anyway, coming back to triangulate your communication. You can reach the person. If I've got Vicky's cell phone number, and or her email address, I can reach out with point of contact one by sending her a voice note, texting her a voice note, referencing an email that I've sent her. So most of us don't read all of our emails because you're getting killed by email. You are. Like these days, you've got to sit down on a Friday and unsubscribe. I hope you have an unsubscribe date with yourself. I stayed in a Super 8 hotel once. They wouldn't leave me alone. They gave me scabies because they don't watch their sheets, and they will not leave me alone. Super 8 won't leave me alone, I swear. You've got an unsubscribe date every Friday where you unsubscribe, because they won't leave you alone. Then they'll put you into Infusionsoft, which means if you don't respond, they'll send you the don't respond email, and we are digitally fatigued. So don't think because you sent your client an email that they actually read the email. If you really want them to read the email, record the summary of the email in a voice note and text them the voice note. Then they'll read the email. And then you can use in America, because the mail actually arrives in this country, you must come to South Africa where you send the mail and envelope arrives. You don't know what was in the envelope, but you get the envelope. If I mail something to you from Provo to Salt Lake, it actually kind of gets there within 48 hours. It's an amazing thing. And so what you can do is you can send the person what you want them to read as a hard copy, and I like padded bubble envelopes because they're inexpensive and people open padded bubble envelopes. So that's called triangulating your communication. You have to try really hard to get people to pay attention to you these days. SlyDial. How many of you are using SlyDial? This is way cool, okay? SlyDial is free. Free's a good price. If I have your cell phone number, I can dial a voice message directly into your voice mailbox without having to speak to you. Was this built for the life insurance industry or what? In other words, I can record, and you mustn't record. It'll take 3 minutes, but you mustn't record 3 minutes. You should be able to get it said in 1 minute. And what you say right at the beginning is really important. So I'm going to send these slides to you so you don't have to try and write them down quickly. But basically, good day, John. This is Steve Smith. I recently did some important work with good friend and mediocre golfer Ryan Price. The fact that you said mediocre golfer would suggest there's a close relationship. Your name came up in conversation. John Ryan has suggested some of the tools and resources we use in our work with clients would have a neat fit with your financial situation. Our work with mortality credits, facilitate family meetings, ensure your financial key has been completed. The prospect knows nothing about that stuff at this point. Now, I have no idea if anything would be of interest. Certainly wouldn't want to waste both of our time, so I've taken the liberty of emailing you some tools and resources which are critical to your financial future, without which your family may find themselves less prepared at some point. I'm planning on calling you tomorrow or Monday to explain what I've just sent you. There's no obligation whatsoever. You can hide your checkbook. If we ever do get together for an initial 30-minute exchange of ideas, there's nothing for sale. Hope you have a wonderful day. And by the way, Ryan be said to be sure to say hi. So you're using SlyDial. By the way, there's something called SlyDial Broadcast. If you put your client's cell phone numbers on an Excel spreadsheet, you can push a button and record the same message. You can send the same message into all 200 or 300 voice mailboxes at the push of a button, which means next year on Father's Day, at exactly 1 o'clock on Father's Day, you can have a voicemail directly into the voice mailbox of all 200 of your dads. That says, "Hi, Dad. Wanted to wish you happy Father's Day. Have an awesome day, and thank you so much for loving us and taking care of your family responsibilities. Lots of love and happy Father's Day from your children and your life insurance policies." And he's standing around flipping the burgers going, "My life insurance policies just wish me happy Father's Day." And then you can send him an email of an estate director to share with the other dads while they're standing around the neighborhood barbecue. I was asked to finish at 2 o'clock, and it's 2 minutes to 2.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes. Continue. It's actually all I had to say. Oh, here's one. Umail. Umail's cool. I pay $19 a month for Umail. I haven't listened to a voicemail for 2 years. I don't listen to voicemails. Because you see, as I'm sitting here, the voicemails are flying in from all over the place. And the challenge with that is between now and when I fly home tonight, I don't want to sit clearing voicemails tomorrow morning. So I get about 30 voicemails a day. And what Umail does for $19 a month subscription is it changes your voicemail into a text message and an email so that you can read your voicemails. Now, let me warn you about this. You need to be very careful of what you call the person in your directory because it greets them with that name. My ex pointed this out to me. So if you've got me listed as Anthony the A-hole, it's going to say, "Hi, Anthony the A-hole. Bob isn't available right now." So be careful of what you call the people in your directory. But it greets the person in their name, which is kind of cool. Already your clients are going, "How do they know what my name is?" Okay. And what's cool is that you can actually read. So in other words, I can sit on the plane tonight before we take off, and I can clear 30 voicemails. I can cut and paste and take photographs of some of them, which I will do. Curtis in my office hates voicemail, okay, because he'll send me a message. I'll send it right back to him. Okay, he'll say, "So-and-so is looking for you." I'll say, "Yes, here's the message they left. Why don't you respond?" And I'll send it back to him. So I can cut and paste the texts of my voicemails, and I send them to my office and say, deal with this person. I'm not going to phone them. I want you to deal with this person, etc. Because we're all busy people, would you agree? Very, very busy people. So do you have any questions for me? Any questions for me? Lastly, you two. Okay, question.
You mentioned a lot of books, you know, like reading a lot of books. And so if you were, why don't I ask what's your top one book, but I'm going to ask you what are your top three books that you would recommend that we read first?
Money Makes Me Crazy, definitely. That family meetings book I talked about this morning, the family meetings book. Start offering family meetings and conducting family meetings. You won't recognize your production. I'm a salesperson too, and I'm proud of it. So let's talk about production for a second. If you facilitated 10 family meetings a year, you would not recognize your production. The awesome thing about it is when you do the family meetings, you must cater, and you must preferably do it at the lake house or at the cottage, and you do it in like a weekend kind of time. And when you arrive, you must arrive with a half a cow and way too many garlic breads and way too many 44-gallon drums of coleslaw and cornbread. Way too much. And then Bob Johnson, the dad of the family, is like, gosh, Sonny, how many people did you think we got in our family? You go, do you know the Johnsons and the Williams on the other side? Yeah, Fred and I built that dock for our kids 30 years ago. Well, when we break for lunch, why don't you invite them over for lunch? The Johnsons and the Williams come over at lunchtime going, gee, you've got the whole family here. What's this all about? You go, we're having our family meeting with our financial advisor, Richard. What's a family meeting? Oops, here's a key, here's a sample plan, here's a EGNA DVD, here's a pressure test, here's a financial toolkit. Don't call this prospecting because you won't do it. But you've got to have an attitude towards prospecting big time. I would say that the third book you might consider reading is anything that teaches a person about financial literacy. I happen to like The Millionaire Next Door, and you can get that one for $2.50 these days. The Millionaire Next Door, which is by two Harvard professors, Stanley and Danko. It's a very clever book about, it's like The Wealthy Barber, about how people get wealthy. If you're interested in the investment side of the business, Ken Fisher, excuse me if I cuss in this room for a second, Ken Fisher hates annuities, and it doesn't matter because Ken Fisher's a billionaire and we're not. So you can hate Ken Fisher, it doesn't matter. He can afford the ad on the back of USA Today. Ken Fisher wrote a very powerful book called The Only Three Questions. Don't share it with your clients because they'll be very grumpy. But he says the only three questions you should ask about an investment before you take action on it. And I'm not going to share the three questions. I want you to read the book. But Ken Fisher would say you should have spent most of your time in cash or in money market in the last 20 years. You only wanted to be in the stock market about 27 days. So he would say that on the day of Brexit, you jump in while everyone else is jumping out. And exactly 90 days, you go to cash. On 9/11, you plow your money into the markets. The day that the Japanese announced that they've got cracks in the nuclear reactors because of the tsunami over there, you buy the market and you buy Japanese equities. And then 90 days later, you go to cash, you'd be the best fund manager on planet Earth. But that would take, I'm just learning my Latino, that would take what they call courage in Latino, which is cojones, so to be able to do that. So, anyway, the last thing I wanted to share with you, very important. Please use YouTube. YouTube is your greatest, freest technology and technology resource. I listen to Gary Vee. I subscribe to Tony Robbins. I subscribe to everyone to keep me motivated and keep me up. But Gary Vaynerchuk, if you've checked out Gary Vee on YouTube, he says, what are you doing between 8 p.m. and midnight? Because between 8 p.m. and midnight is how I judge an entrepreneur. Between 8 p.m. and midnight, Monday to Thursday, what are you doing? Stop watching the Kardashians and Lost. It's not going to contribute to your overall wealth. It's not. Sit with the iPad and the earbuds. You can go to the MDRT without getting on the plane. Most of the speakers are there. They are. You can practice, you can rehearse, you can Google how to work a room when networking as a financial advisor at an event. And you'd find a whole ton of stuff in there from people who are trying to sell you their course or sell you their book. There's 3 hours of me on YouTube for free. If you go Anthony Morris Creative One or Anthony Morris Ash Brokerage, I've got 3 hours of stuff on YouTube for free about family meetings, the language behind the pressure test, values, trusts, and all of those other things that you can use to improve yourself. That is why I maintain it's the best time in the world to be in the business. The very, very best time ever. Because you can sit at the feet of the masters in your car while you're driving around. I'm about to record about 7, 8, 9 hours of my best words and put them on audio so that you can download them into an MP3 or onto a CD and listen to me all day as you drive around in your car, and then you can all have South African accents. And talk about nauseous instead of nauseous and aluminium instead of aluminum, controversy instead of controversy. You can do it. One of the best talks, then I'll finish up, and if you want to register for the boot camp, I'll be here until about 2:45. You can give me your form and you'll receive everything that's illustrated there in terms of the ebooks. Jimmy Valvano, the late Jimmy V, did a great talk at MDRT called Cutting Down the Nets. And I'm a big sports fan, and he says, I was 21 years old. Rutgers University, okay? He says, I got these 18-year-old kids. They're 18, I'm 21, I'm their coach. What am I going to tell them at the first game? It's the most important game of my life. He says, and I remember my idol, Vince Lombardi. Vince Lombardi waited 5 minutes before the Packers go out there. Kick the door down, throw his hat on the seat. He said, you'll win if you think of three things and three things only. Your family,
your religion, and the Green Bay Packers. Your family, your religion, and the Green Bay Packers. He says, I was so pumped up. I was 21, my first major coaching job at Rutgers. He says, I waited till 2 minutes before, try to kick the door down. It was locked, broke my ankle. I stumbled into the room, and I stood in the middle of these kids. I said, guys, you win if you think of three things and three things only, your family, your religion, and the Green Bay Packers. The guys were like, whatever. They went out, they were tackling people on the court. It was a total mess, but anyway. So don't follow everything that I say. So I hope to see you 4th and 5th of October. If you can't make that boot camp, I've got one in San Francisco. I've got one in Irvine, California. You could join later in October into November. I'd love to work with you for those two intensive days. Bring your assistant if you've got one. You don't have to have an assistant. And I certainly hope to work with the Taggart Symposium again in the future. This is an amazing event, and well done for keeping supporting it and putting your game at the top, which is where it belongs. Thanks for being here.